Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, November 19th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There is a Solution. We're on page 18, reading the third paragraph, which begins, Highly Competent Psychiatrists. We'll read and comment on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Dina J. with the 12 Steps, Audrey M. P. with the 12 Traditions, Dion R., Mary G., and Mo H. Jody E. is going to greet our newcomers, and then Robin P. will give us some announcements before we close. Okay, the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Let's take a look at those. Dina J., I will now ask you to please read the 12 steps. Star 1 to unmute, please, Dina. Dina.
Good morning. I'm so sorry. I thought I had unmuted myself. Okay. Good morning, Elaine B. I am Dina J., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in California. 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you for your service, Dita J. Okay, I'll now ask Audrey M.P. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Team Thursday. This is Audrey M.P. from, I'm a compulsive overeater and a recovered bulimic from Santa Monica, California. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity, too. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such should never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And then there's this little thing. It says permission to use the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous for adaptation is granted by AA World Services, Inc. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Audrey M.P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep to your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and that's using the star 1 function on your keypad, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter, There is a Solution, on page 18, and we're reading and commenting on the third paragraph. And I'll ask Dion R. to please read and comment for us. Thank you. Star 1 to unmute.
Yeah.
Ah, here we are. Great, thanks.
Okay. Hi again, Elaine. Good morning. Hi, this is Dion Rogers. I'm sorry, Dion R. What? Okay, yeah. I'm a compulsive overeater. I believe I'm in the right room. Okay, highly competent psychiatrists who have dealt with us found it sometimes impossible to persuade an alcoholic to discuss his situation without reserve. Strangely enough, wise parents and intimate friends usually find us even more unapproachable than do the psychiatrist and the doctor. Yes, that's of course, it's a warning. I am Dion R., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, believe it or not, from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Grateful to be able to share with you guys my little strength, strength, and hope that I get from this paragraph. Like Elaine said, it's so powerful, especially the part when was sticking out to me is, strangely enough, wise parents, intimate friends usually find us even more unapproachable than do the psychiatrist and doctor. You know, they know most of the times that I was lying and just a means to an end. But when it comes to my family and friends, it's like, how dare you suggest I go on a diet? How dare you? One of my friends suggests I go to the Overeaters Anonymous. I'm like, how dare you? You know, I was so mean and vicious, you know, that mouth was, and my grandmother used to say, it's not what you put in there as much, Dion, is as much as coming out of that mouth, you know, because I would say some of those vicious things because that's how I was hurting. I was hurting, and I thought I had to say those things and be that type of person to protect myself. And coming to Alcoholics Anonymous you guys, and I say you guys, I mean me too. All of us have, but the recovered ones showed me I didn't need those vicious tools anymore, you know. And I began to, after trial and error, 20 years, doing it Dion's way for the last 8 years or so, I have that, I can share that. You know, this is where I was. This is where I'm at now. I am approachable on most days. And so I'm very grateful to be able to share my experience, strength, and hope. I love Overeaters Anonymous, and it gets me through, it got me through every holiday. So newcomers, if you think you're having a hard time, grab some names now. And I would always, and I still do, before I go around, stay on, even talk to them. It's not them, it's me. But I have to call a recovered person and just say, hey, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm feeling. And afterwards, I get home, I do it. And I feel good. I don't have to curse. I don't have to, you know, be unapproachable. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to go see a doctor or psychiatrist. So that's amazing. Not for them anyway. So with that, I'll pass, guys. Thanks for allowing me to share. I love this meeting. I love all you. I'm going to go with that, Elaine, and have a great evening. I mean, morning.
Thank you so much, Deanna. I love you too. And everybody on the line, so great to be here. Okay, we value everybody's experience. However, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you have not spoken since Monday, if Monday was the last time you spoke, we ask that you hold off. But we're going to take a lineup of six people here, if I can, who'd like to share.
Liz, Kara L.
Liz, Kara.
Kevin R.
Bonnie B. Minnesota.
Kevin R. Whoops, Kevin R. Someone Minnesota.
Donna Audrey
M.
P. Bonnie
Audrey
B. in Minnesota.
M. P. I'm hearing the Minnesota, but I'm not getting the name.
Bonnie B.
Bonnie B. Okay.
Donna B.
Okay, that was quick. Quick lineup here. All righty, but I didn't get all the information. So there was a Liz. I think there was a Karen R. and a Kevin R., unless I wrote the same name down twice, which I might have done. Audrey M. P., Bonnie P., Donna B. So I know there was a Kevin R. Was there a Karen R.? Let me take one other name.
Elaine, were you perhaps thinking of Kara?
Oh, it was Kara. Yes, it was Kara L. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All righty. So, Liz S., you are up first, followed by Kara L. Then we'll have Kevin R., Audrey M. P., Bonnie P., and Donna B. Thank you so much.
Hi, it's Liz S. This is Sam from New Hampshire, not from New Hampshire, in New Hampshire. I value my birthright in New York City. This paragraph speaks very loudly to me because I have been treated for depression for 30 years. So when I went to psychiatrists in New York, I had already had some experience with OA. And the first thing I would say to them is, I'm not here to be treated for this disease. Don't even try. Because I knew they couldn't. I mean, I knew they could not cure me. And I didn't want them wasting their time trying to. But the other side of it, and I knew this for a long time, was I would rather talk about my sex life than how I ate. I would rather, and I was serious, I would rather, that was so clear to me, to tell how I ate, what I ate, the way that I ate. I could not tell anyone. I was so ashamed of the way that I binged, the extent to which I went to binge, how much I ate was something that I couldn't tell anyone. So it wasn't that I didn't want them. I just wanted to be understood that I knew there wasn't a cure. However, it is now considered, I don't know what the cure or the book of diagnoses is, but binge eating is now considered an illness or a disease. Does that mean that doctors understand it? No, it does not mean it. But it does mean that it is at least considered a disease, which is by the medical fraternity or association or whatever, the AMA. But I wanted to make it clear that that is not why I was there. But on the other hand, if anyone had asked me, so tell me about your eating disorder, I would have been very vague, very unclear. My parents didn't push it. My father, of course, said what every one of us has probably heard in some form or other, you'd be so pretty if you could only lose weight, which was devastating. But my biggest secret was how I ate, why I ate, what I ate. To this day, I don't think I've told anyone. So you know, that was my experience with psychiatrists. I don't think they understand it. I don't think doctors understand it. I don't think doctors understand most of the diseases that they treat. But this one's a mystery. It is a big mystery. And all I can do is try to educate them to the best of my ability. And, you know, and with that, I close. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Liz S. Kara L., you're up next, followed by Kevin R.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And I am back in the Pacific time zone today, which is beautiful to be home. It's so good to hear your voices this morning. Long days of travel, and I missed you. And I just can't say how much this meeting and our fellowship brings me closer to my higher power. And no specialist, no doctor, no concerned parent, friend could have told me what I would get by doing this work and to being of service and finding a connection to a higher power. The only way I could see that is being in the rooms and then listening to the meetings and seeing it in other people. Seeing the recovery. We have a fellow that says recover, recover, recover. And I knew I could trust somebody with my deepest, darkest secrets that had suffered like me. And I know that's our paragraph tomorrow. But I can't tell you how many times I got angry at a doctor, cursed a scale, had a family member say something to me and wanted to write them off forever. Because I knew in my heart they did not know me. My fellows know me. And I'll tell you, something as simple as a step 10 call brought me to tears this week after traveling long days, and I had a step 10 call. And just hearing the words of the prayers and being drawn into fellowship with another, it just brought me right back into center with my higher power. And that's a gift that no specialist can give us. That's a gift, you know, it's the reason I have to do 12-step work. It's the reason I have to listen to inventories. It's the reason I give inventories. It's the reason that I'm honest wherever I am. Most people know now I have an eating disorder. I used to keep that a guarded secret. But, you know, the people I work with now, they know, because they know they can send people to me. You know, they know. And it's not a deep, dark secret anymore. It's just part of who I am. I'm thankful for this meeting, and I'm ever thankful for all of you this morning. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kara L. Okay, Kevin R., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Audrey M. P.
Hi, it's Evan with the E,
EVAN. Thank you for that correction, Evan. Sorry about that.
Recovered compulsive reader from Southern California, and I too was very hesitant to reveal to any friend, definitely never any family member. I always found my quote-unquote eating disorder, which I still have a hard time saying, to be the most shameful aspect of me, and I didn't want anybody to know. And even psychiatrists or professionals, they, I feel like they didn't understand. I mean, they read about it, but I don't think they really do. And when I hear this paragraph, that's for me, the power of the 12th step. It was only when someone else had confided in me that they were compulsively eating that I was like, oh, well, me too. That's actually how I ended up in Overeaters Anonymous. And then I feel like now carrying the message, actually doing the 12th step with clients, has been transformative. And now I can be that person that they can share with. And, you know, when I share my insanity, they identify, and it kind of helps them open up more so than they would with anybody else. But I think it's good. I think that's the power. And I tell myself, I'm like, you know what? You can't, not everyone is prepared to hear all of the depths of my personal despair in the past, and you have to really choose your battles. But I always find anyone in the program is very open and receptive, which to me is just amazing to have that kind of support. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Evan R. Audrey Kim. I mean, Audrey M.P., you're up next, followed by Bonnie P. Please go ahead, Audrey.
Good morning, Team Thursday, and thank you, Elaine B. and everybody on the call. Welcome to newcomers who are just joining us. I haven't shared since a week ago Monday, so it's like, okay, I'm in today. Highly competent psychiatrists who have dealt with this have found it sometimes impossible to persuade an alcoholic to discuss the situation without reserve. I remember my very first meeting. It was April of 1993. It was in Roxbury Park, and it was Serenity Sunday when we were all face to face. And I could not believe there was 150 people in the room. And I remember eating disorder units would bring vans, and they would bring people in that were in treatment. And I, you know, I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, and I'm a recovered bulimic. I have not purged since 1993, and I thank God, and I wear it as a badge in His honor. And I say that because I think I work best with bulimics, compulsive overeaters suffering from bulimia. And the food part, it still oftentimes baffles me. And I love what I heard in the beginning. You know, we have Amateur's Day, Thanksgiving. What are we going to eat? What are we not going to eat? Do we know what we're going to, you know, do we have a plan? And this year I have a plan. And what I love is that it's a small gathering, and I'm not forced to be with a bunch of people that trigger me, that because I can tend to eat things I wouldn't normally eat in a year on Thanksgiving, and I'm making sure that all my food is going to be clean. What I thought to say about the professionalism and talking about my eating disorder, I remember I was so relieved on that day. I couldn't believe I heard other people in the room talk about you know, purging and eating and purging and binging and purging, and that I finally found these people that I could relate to. And especially hearing stories, and even hearing stories, I think it was like 2 days ago, I was on the 4 o'clock meeting the 7 o'clock meeting your time, four here in California, and I heard the most, God, I just heard the most moving shares about compulsive overeaters. And I love being in a vision for you. I've had sponsors that tell me, Audrey, you're so well examined. You're so well examined, right? Because I have all the answers. You know, bulimia is a mental illness. I'm not a doctor, I've been told. You know, it was the steps that have saved me and given me reprieve one day at a time. And the stories that I can share about my recovery are from the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, adapted by OA. And I just want to say in this, looking for a sponsee that might need some help. I know it's attraction, not promotion, but with that, I pass. And thank you for the opportunity to share today.
Thank you so much, Audrey M.P. Bonnie P., you're up next, followed by Donna B. Then we'll take another lineup on page 18, paragraph 3, which begins with highly competent psychiatrist. Please go ahead, Donna P. Bonnie
Thanks.
P.
It's Bonnie B. Can you hear me?
Yes, Bonnie B., thank you very much.
No, thank you so much. Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for everyone else who makes this phone call possible every day. Bonnie B. from Minnesota, recovering compulsive overeater, restrictor, binger. The thing that stuck out to me with this paragraph was when you're looking at the people they're talking about, they're talking about highly competent psychiatrists. Those are people who have gone to school for, you know, 6-8 years plus. Obviously, they have the book knowledge. Obviously, most of the time they care. They wouldn't be doing what they're doing. And then you're talking about the people that we're intimate with, our husbands, our wives, our parents, our friends. And for both of these groups of people, we're not able to disclose. The ones that are closest to us, the ones that really want to help us, I was never able to disclose to any of them. And the reason I couldn't is because I never felt like they understood me. They did not understand anything about what I was going through. So how could I ever share with them what was going on? It wasn't until I came into the doors of OA in November of 2017 that I first thought to myself, there's a group of people who get it. I will tell other newcomers when I talk with them, you're never going to say anything that's going to surprise me. There's nothing you can say that I haven't thought or done. And that ability to be able to identify in is what makes me be able to work the steps and to move forward and to do the things I need to do, to be honest and be transparent. And that's the process that will help me to get to the point where I need to be, which is healed for today and of service to others. So very grateful. So grateful for each of you. So grateful for this meeting and for the opportunity to share today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Bonnie B. So Donna B., you're up next, and then we will take another lineup. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Donna B. I spell my name D-A-N-A, but it's pronounced Donna, in Denver, Colorado. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, and I want to talk about something a little bit different that this paragraph is triggering for me. Because I am recovered, or maybe I am recovered because I live in steps 10, 11, and 12. And step 10 tells me that my purpose is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. And the Big Book constantly emphasizes the importance of my being of maximum service to God and to my fellows. And I find right now in our time in history a great deal of divisiveness. And although it is true that it really was coming to OA where I had the opportunity to meet other compulsive overeaters and to witness their recovery that allowed me to have recovery, I don't know that the absolutely like-minded shared experience has to be the case in all situations in our lives. I'd like to think that because I've grown in effectiveness, because I've grown in understanding, because I do two-way prayer every morning and ask my higher power for guidance on every situation, that I am able to be understanding of people who are different from me in terms of race, gender, sexual orientation, etc. Now that I'm living in the solution and I have this design for living, I am part of the human experience, the human struggle. And I find that I am able to connect with all people on all different types of issues. And that just feels really important for me to share right now as I'm personally struggling with serving on a board of directors in which there seems to be a lack of understanding of how we can serve others despite our differences. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna B. Okay. So, first of all, I want to make amends because I believe I forgot to give the share announcements, the share codes for yesterday's meeting or this morning's 7 a.m. meeting. I will do that before we read page 164 today. But right now, let's take another lineup on page 18, paragraph 3, highly competent psychiatrist. If you have not shared since Monday, we do value your experience and ask that you do limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Monday, please let me know if you'd like to share.
Larry.
Reggie O. Larry and Reggie O. Yep. Anybody else? I heard Larry and Reggie O. It's a great paragraph. Don't miss a chance to share if you'd like to. Star one to unmute. Okie dokie. We're going to go with two for now, and we'll come back with some more.
Tori H. from the UK.
Tori H. Awesome. Okay. So we'll do Larry G. followed by Reggie O. And then we'll have Tori H. Please go ahead, Larry.
Thank you. My name's Larry. I'm from California, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater. Bill uses the word intimate. And given that I am multi-addicted, including a compulsive overeater, untreated, intimacy is beyond my grasp. I am unable to be intimate. What I'm intimate with is myself, my self-seeking, my self-centeredness, my pride, my ego, my fears. And, of course, my drug of choice, which in this program is my alcoholic foods. I have had the most wonderful experience working with therapists, and I need to remind myself, and what I love about visions is that we separate therapy and 12-step in this call. There are many meetings I've gone to where if you didn't know it was an OA meeting, it could have been a therapy session. People talking about their feelings, people talking about their wounds, people talking about how damaged they are. And there's a place for that. And I'm not judging, but there's a place for that. It's not in a 12-step program. What I like about visions is we stay on topic, we stay on the paragraph, we talk about the mess, we talk about the solution. But I've had wonderful therapists. My first therapist was a psychiatrist, and she saved my life. And I had drifted away from AA, and she said, I'm not going to treat you unless you go to AA. She said, AA is the best game in town. Why aren't you going? And then about 22 years ago, I had drifted from OA, and the same thing, a therapist I currently use, I'm not going to treat you unless you go to OA. This is not a 12-step program for food. So because I have a lack of intimacy, because of my addiction, I make a very poor therapy client. I make a very poor husband, a very poor friend. When I came here in May, my brain was so defogged. I was so fogged up. I was so full of deceit and lies and so dishonest. How can any human being live in a relationship with someone like that? And even the most casual relationships, it's impossible. Thank God for this program. And I want to echo what someone said. Here's what Vision has done most for me. It's drawing me closer to God. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Larry G. Reggie O., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Tori H. in the UK.
Good morning, Elaine. Thanks for your service, and thanks everybody here today. My name is Reggie O., gratefully recovering, lifelong membership in this program, Gold Card, which I'm very grateful for. You know, when I was listening to folks early on, and then I was reading the paragraph again a couple of times, I too, it's funny, Larry just shared before me about intimacy. That was the word that stood out for me, intimate. And I thought, intimate friends, strangely enough, you know, I couldn't talk to wives, parents, or intimate friends, being unapproachable. And when I look back, you know, I had people that I loved a great deal. I had friends who loved me. But it's been, and after many years in Overeaters Anonymous, when I discovered that one of my greatest fears was intimacy. And I might be jumping back and forth with this because I've not really had this discussion before, but my first OA meeting, I remember, there was a woman who was qualifying, and she was beautiful, perfect, normal size, and she held up this pair of jeans that was probably, it looked like it was about three times, it wasn't jeans actually, it was overalls, and it was about three times the size that she was, and it was really hard to imagine, and that's where she started, and she talked about eating out of trash cans and all of these various ways, you know, that she had been in the disease and where she currently was. And I was fascinated. I didn't dive into trash cans in the way she did, but I've certainly gone to back to, you know, trash cans and picked up food. I could have never told anyone that because it was so deep inside me. And then at the end of the meeting, someone said, because I was a newcomer here, let me take you to get a sponsor. And they took me to this woman in the back of the room, and she was blind. And she said, oh, yes, she would love to be my sponsor. And when she told me to, she told me some things about the food plan, you know, no sugar, no white flour, et cetera, reading labels. And then she said, and it, you know, call me every morning at whatever the time was and tell me what you're eating for that day. And I almost had a meltdown right in the middle of the floor, because what I thought in that moment in my experience was that it felt like the most intimate thing I could ever do with another human being, which was to tell them what I was eating or what I was going to eat. And I had no, I was not grateful that she was blind, but since she was, I was grateful that she was my sponsor, because at least she couldn't see me, you know, that that was the degree to which this, you know, this intimacy, this, so it's really very interesting. And, you know, ultimately one of the, you know, what this program is for is to help us get a power, a relationship, an intimate relationship with a power greater than ourselves, which, you know, can do for us what no other human being or no other, no human being can do. And,
just a reminder.
And that was, thanks, Elaine, I'll finish with this. And it was my relationship with God that I could not, that I had no intimacy with. You know, I had no intimacy with God, and that's been the core of my work. And today I have that in a way I never have, and it's a whole different way of life. So I pass with that.
Thank you very much, Reggie O. Tori H., you're up next, and then we'll take a few more shares on page 18, paragraph 3, highly competent psychiatrist. Please go ahead, Tori.
Hi, I'm Tori, and I'm from the UK, a recovered compulsive overeater. So the first bit that really gets me or speaks to me is the, where is it, sometimes impossible to persuade an alcoholic to discuss his situation without reserve. Well, there's no way I was ever going to talk to any of the psychiatrists or the therapists, and I saw so many before I came to OA. All the money that I earned went on yet another therapist. And there was no way I was going to share my what I did with my eating disorder, my entire eating disorder. And, you know, because I would look at them and think they had it all together. There's no way that they were going to behave or, you know, I just felt so ashamed. I couldn't possibly share that with them. And equally, you know, strangely enough, wives, parents, and intimate friends, they equally, you know, certainly my experience with my family is that they would love to be able to reach me and help me change, but there's no way that I could share with them because they don't identify my step one. They don't have that relationship with food or with the whole self obsession and weight obsession that goes, you know, that goes on in my head. I don't get that connection with them. I only get it with a fellow compulsive overeater, and that's what creates the intimacy of the solution. That is the first step of my solution, is the we part, is breaking the shame bondage, you know, the isolation and the secrecy that keeps me in that horrible place of separation from other people. So, you know, connecting with my fellow OAs is exactly how I get well and stay well all the time. So thank you. I'll pass on that.
Thank you very much, Tori in the UK. Okay, we have time for three more shares. And we do value your experience, but we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share and express their opinion, too. Who'd like to comment?
Georgie.
Okay. Eileen D., I heard Juanita, and there's a gentleman's voice.
Georgie.
And Georgie. Okay. So we've got Eileen D., Juanita, and George E. Please go ahead, Eileen.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hear you great.
Can you hear me? Oh, great. Great. Good morning. I'm Eileen D. from Maryland, covered compulsive overeater and grateful for the meeting and your service. I think what I was dwelling on today was the last part of the paragraph, where strangely enough, wives, parents, and intimate friends usually find us even more unapproachable. And oh my goodness, that's the name of the game for me before program. I was the pretty girl in the room who was big, according to all my uncles and aunts in a wild Irish clan. And I had one aunt who was big, and we were apparently often bonded together. They would put us together and say, they're both beautiful, they're lovely, if only they lose weight. It was just the craziest thing. And it took me years and years and years to realize that it wasn't a weight issue. It was a life issue. How do I deal with people? How do I, that fleeting thing called intimacy that I longed for, and it was in these rooms. When I first walked in the 80s, that I felt this wonderful kinship with folks who would understand me and who wouldn't look at the outside but want to get to know the inside of me. And I am blessed to be abstinent after many decades, it feels like. it was quite a journey. But I am now approachable when people ask why you look so different. I'm able to share 12-step stuff, and it's a pleasure to be here. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Eileen D. Juanita M., you're up next, followed by George E.
Did you call me?
Yes, Juanita, please go ahead.
Okay, hi. Good morning, everyone. My name is Juanita, and I am a compulsive overeater. And it's sometimes impossible to persuade an alcoholic to discuss a situation without reserve. And I went to so many therapists, psychiatrists. I was diagnosed with bipolar and manic depressive and all of this other stuff. Never once did I get to talk about food addiction and the way I ate. And for me, I had the kind of idea that I would go to, I'm such a stubborn, hard-headed, hard-case kind of person, and I would go there and sit there and look at them like, okay, fix me. You're the one with all the answers. Just tell what, just fix it. And because I was in so much denial, I didn't even know what my problem was. It wasn't until I started going into the rooms and hearing other people share and was able to say, oh, okay, so this is what my problem really is. You know, because I love the acronym that I have heard for denial is don't even know I'm lying. I didn't even know. I thought it was my family, my mother, the way I was treated. I was told I was ugly when I was all of this other stuff. And I just didn't even really know what my problem was. How can I go in and talk about something when I don't even know what it is? And that's all for me. Thanks, Pat. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Juanita. George E., you're up next, and we may have time for another share or two after this.
It's George E., can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Please go ahead.
All right. Compulsive Eater, Cincinnati, Ohio. Yeah, it's been a great meeting. I mean, I can see where this paragraph's kind of hard to unpack. I mean, I think it's something we've all experienced to some extent. I took it more to be about denial. Okay, call it wise omission, if you want. But, you know, I mean, I remember being approached by people, you know, even in early childhood about my overeating. And I put up a wall. I was like, no, I'm not going to agree to this, and I'm not going to subscribe to this. And and you can't tell me otherwise. And as far as doctors go, I mean, I'm sure I've lied to more doctors than I can remember. You know, I remember, well, even on my driver's license, you know, I lied about my weight for years because I thought I could pass for somebody who was whiter, right? So, yeah, compulsive food behaviors. You know, it's not just about, you know, the eating. It's about the character, you know, and about, and not to say that it's a moral issue, because it's not, it's a disease. But the food has to go from the stomach to the brain, you know. Just, you know, a little, well, later in the book, it says, it talks better about denial. I know I'm skipping ahead, but it says, if the alcoholic is told, he will either, you know, deny it and refuse to talk about it, or, well, you get the idea. I think this is the great part of the book, because it does teach us who we are, you know. That's all I have to share. Thanks for calling on me, and thanks for your service.
Thank you very much, George E. Okay, we have time for one more share. Who'd like to take it? You haven't shared since Monday.
Evan Yu.
Evan Yu, it's all yours. Please go ahead.
This is Evan Yu from California. Thank you, Team Thursday, for your service. I'm just standing here blown away by people's experience that there are loving people outside this disease who don't understand it but want to help. Because as I'm searching back through my experience, I grew up in a world of overeating, and there was no consciousness around it, and there was no desire to help. There was judgment. And so however it developed in me was just complete hatred of myself for being an overeater, and to the point where I didn't see anything else. I guess I was lucky in that, you know, I wasn't super obese, so it wasn't obvious, so people weren't coming to me. But at the same time, my experience was either people were just in the food and completely oblivious to it, or they were fighting the food and hated themselves for it. And, you know, those were the realms in which I lived. And even when I got into program and I started talking to OA people, I couldn't, and it's still hard for me to get past the self-hatred for being a compulsive eater. So the opposite of understanding, you know, obviously there's so much understanding that's coming in, and this is an amazing meeting and the steps. And, you know, I'm coming to a place of neutrality around food, and I'm certainly coming to an incredible relationship with my higher power. But, you know, in true fourth through 10-step fashion, that self-hatred hasn't gone anywhere. Like, that has not been healed in me. You know, it's been gotten past because of the step work and because of the fellowship, but there's still such a judgment, you know, that I'm, you know, kind of in a way on this call, just becoming aware of just how strong it really is, and that that's a part and a piece of recovery that I need to bring to my higher power, you know, for some healing around that. So thank you all for being here, and thank you to whoever dreamed up this format and got it started, whoever was inspired enough by their higher power to get this rolling. I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Yes, I agree with that. Grateful for everybody who makes this meeting possible and came up with the idea to begin with. Thank you, thank you. Where do ideas come from, my husband says. Thank you, everybody that shared. And before we transition the meeting by reading from page 164 in the big book, I believe I failed to share the reference numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, which was Wednesday, November 18th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That number is 15811. That's 15,811. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, is 15817. That's 15,817. Thank you very much. And we will now transition to reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And then Jody E. will greet newcomers, and Robin P. will close us out with some important announcements. So, will Mary G. please read A Vision for You?
Hello, this is Mary G., a recovered compulsive overeater in Mesa, Arizona. A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God, and as you understand God, admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.